walk across the courtyard towards the library. I can hear the insects buzz and the leaves beneath my feet. Ramble up the stairwell to the hall of books. Since we got the interweb, these hardly get used.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Oddcast Podcast. This is James.
And Mio.
Hey Mio, it's been a while.
It has been a while. How long has it been since our last podcast?
Well, technically we put out one a couple months ago, but that was with Sam Ruggieri, our good friend, about The Wire. So you and me, it's been like a year or so.
A year and a couple months.
I think. Last time was the Oscar podcast, right?
Yes. So yeah.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
Why has it taken so long, Mio?
Well, James, I don't know if you've noticed, but I was in grad school.
Is that what you were doing all that time?
Yeah, so I was really, really busy.
Okay. I wondered why you were ignoring me.
I was working on my master's degree.
On what?
Library science.
And did you get such a degree?
I did.
Congratulations!
Thank you. I just graduated.
So proud of you.
In December. So that brings us to the topic of today's podcast.
What is today's topic?
Today's topic is librarians and pop culture.
Librarians and pop culture.
Yes, because about a month after I got my master's degree, I was promoted
to a librarian.
To be a librarian, yes, to the title of librarian.
So you didn't just become a librarian, you have to earn that title?
No. I mean, some people would argue that librarians are born, not made, but it is actually a professional title. So, like, not everybody who works in a library is a librarian, just like not everyone who works at a law firm is a lawyer.
Hmm.
It's kind of like that.
Really?
Yes.
So, all those people I've been calling librarians all my life probably are just library assistants?
Some of them might be library assistants or pages or circulation clerks.
So, what about librarians and pop culture are we going to talk about?
Well, how did we come up with this topic again?
I think we were watching Ghostbusters. I was trying to show you Ghostbusters, and Ghostbusters starts with a haunting at the New York Public Library. There's a librarian ghost that is just, like, pulling books out and scaring people who are in the stacks, and she's, like, reading, like, as she hovers.
Oh, did they... It was a librarian ghost?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I saw the scene where you don't really see anything. You just see the cards flying in the air from the card catalog.
Well, the next scene, like, when they call the Ghostbusters in, or they're not Ghostbusters yet, but they're just scientists. When they call them in to help, it's a librarian, and she's, like, floating while she reads. And she shushes Bill Murray when he's being sarcastic.
Oh, stereotypical.
Yeah.
Do they ever explain why she's haunting the library?
No. No, they just use it.
Library fines.
No, they just use it as a jumping off point for the movie, for them to get started with the business.
Hmm. Well, yeah, there's been some discussion about librarians and pop culture recently. There was an article that was going around the library listservs that was put out by NPR in July 20th of 2010 called Why the Next Pop Culture Wave After Cupcakes Might Be Librarians.
Might be libraries. Not just librarians.
Oh, sorry. Libraries.
Yeah. You made me read the article, so at least...
well, just for the purpose of discussion, not because I was trying to change your mind. So it was an interesting article. It was talking about why they think librarians are cool. They talked about things like librarians are geeks, librarians are underdogs.
But it hinged a lot on irony. Like, they were saying it's very ironic to think of librarians as cool... Or libraries is cool because usually you think of it as being stodgy or kind
of... So it's so uncool that it's cool.
Kind of.
That's such like a hipster
Well, that's way of kind thinking. Of the society that we live in. We're all so damn cynical. Mm. And like, hipsters are taking over. It's upsetting.
You know, there is a stereotype of the hipster librarian.
Well, before we get into like stereotypes. Let's talk about the two main ones. The two big ones.
Okay.
Alright, so you were saying that story was saying that librarians are cool, but the main stereotype is that librarians are conservative, they're very spinsterish. They're old. They want everything to be quiet.
Grouchy.
Grouchy.
And like any stereotype, I'll admit that there is a modicum of truth to this. I definitely know librarians who totally fit that description. You see a lot of them at library conferences. It's very distressing the way that they dress. That said, that doesn't describe all the librarians.
Right. And the other big stereotype is the sexy librarian.
That also has disturbing connotations. Like, I don't really mind it. I think I'll take all the help I can get with my image. But some people I know who are librarians find that offensive, like that the profession is fetishized like that. But
it's, I don't know, it's probably bad, but it's also good, too. I mean, there's nothing wrong with being thought of as
that
sexy.
That librarians are human.
Yeah.
We have needs.
Underneath all that brain power, there's a winner.
Well, I think that sort of goes along with... shut up. I think that sort of goes along with what you were saying, like, the thing with librarians being cool is, like, they're so uncool, they're cool. It's like, well, librarians are so unsexy, it's kind of sexy. Like, it's all about...
not even that they're so uncool that they're cool.
I guess that's part of the irony, isn't it?
Yeah, but not only, like, that they're so uncool that they're cool, it's just, like, the position itself is seen as uncool. So, like, if you have a cool person in there, it kind of, like, changes it up.
I don't know. I mean, I agree with you, but at the same time, I think some people... It's not about irony for some people. They just really like libraries for what they are and what they give to people, you know, yeah. Like access to free information.
Well, I mean, that's why I thought the article was good, because they talked about how in response to some news agencies wondering whether libraries are needed anymore, there was such an overwhelming positive reaction or negative reaction to that question that it's silly to think that libraries aren't needed. Like, libraries are essential.
I also think there's an element of nostalgia. Like, a lot of people grow up going to libraries because parents don't have an unlimited budget. So you have memories from very early on about the library, whereas, like, you probably don't with, I don't know, lawyers or other professions.
I remember my Cub Scouts met at the basement of the library. So, like,
That's cute.
Yeah, our town has a strong connection to, like, Boy Scouts and libraries.
So should we talk about those, explore some of those stereotypes in pop culture?
Sure. Let's talk about the spinster one first. And my favorite example of this, even though I have not seen the movie, even though you try to make me watch it every Christmas, is It's a Wonderful Life.
So yeah, in It's a Wonderful Life, you may or may not remember, when George Bailey's exploring the alternate universe where he was never born, he sees his awful house and he finds out his children was never born and his mother is sour-faced old woman running a boarding house, and then he wants to find out what happened to his wife, Mary. And the angel is like, she's just about to close up the library, so George runs to the library where he sees Mary, the worst of fates, a spinster librarian because she never married and she's wearing glasses and her hair is in a bun or it's like tied back in an ugly hairstyle. And that always kind of makes me a little bit upset because, especially now that I am a librarian, I'm like, what's so bad about being a librarian? Why is it the worst of fates?
I don't know.
And I mean, I know this movie is a product of its time. It's made in the 1930s, so back then you really didn't have women who had careers and families. But I'm like, why the library?
I don't know. I mean, that's the ghost in Ghostbusters is definitely dressed like spinsterish. She's definitely the same as Mary from It's a Wonderful Life. I don't know. And my librarian when I was a kid was old, and like she definitely reinforced that stereotype.
Well, it's sad that a lot of librarians are people who come to libraries from a previous, like, libraries are their second job, their second profession. A lot of them start out life as another profession, and mm-hmm. then they become librarians later in life. So I think that might be a reason why some, like, a vast majority of librarians are somewhat older.
But now we've got the new stereotype.
Sexy librarian. Well, I don't think we should clarify, like, that doesn't necessarily have anything to do with age.
I think it's because there's younger people now.
Yeah, I don't know, maybe. I mean, definitely my experience in library school was that most people, a majority of people, were my age.
Yeah. And I think, like, the Seinfeld episode where Jerry has a book long overdue that's, like, 30 years overdue, and the book investigator comes out, and then Kramer seduces the young librarian, and Mr. Bookman's like, back in my day, the librarian was older, like, we didn't think about her private life. We didn't want to know about her private life.
Who's the actor who plays him again? He's so good. He, like, steals, the show. Philip Baker Hall.
Yeah, he's great in he's great in movies like Boogie Nights, too. Like, he's a great
character actor,
yeah. Top five character actors.
Another, I don't know, sexy, but definitely a young librarian is Parker Posey in Party Girl. She starts out as this party girl who mm-hmm. doesn't really have any deeper purpose in life. She just goes to parties, and she throws parties, and she's all about having fun, getting drunk, and being wild. And in the movie, I think it's like she reaches this epiphany where she realizes, you know, she has to find some substance in life. And I think also she is about to get kicked out of her apartment or something. And she breaks into the library, and she reads the entire Dewey Decimal, like the books that explain the Dewey Decimal System. And she gets really inspired by the Dewey Decimal System. And then she, like, decides she wants to be a librarian.
Do libraries even use the Dewey Decimal System anymore?
Public libraries do.
Really?
Yeah, it's like public libraries use Dewey Decimal, and then academic or college libraries use Library of Congress.
They still use those little drawers with the little cards on them and
the
stuff?
The card catalogs? No, it's all on computers now.
Oh, okay.
I mean, mostly. I know there's some holdouts that still have card catalogs, but I'd say 99% of libraries are probably computer.
Okay. About to say.
But in Party Girl, I think it takes place in the 80s or early 90s, so they still have card catalogs. And in fact, there's a scene in the movie where she creates a card catalog for her friend who's a DJ, so he can find all of his records.
Oh, wow.
It's very cute. Do you want me to do that for you in your DVD library?
No, I'm okay.
Okay.
So libraries reform Parker Posey?
Yes.
Nice.
So let's see, another sexy librarian. I don't know if she's a librarian, actually, but in that 70s show, Ashton Kutcher's character falls for a girl who works in a library. And I have to say, she does not look like most of the people that I went to library school with.
In that she's really, really hot?
She's got huge...
Tracts of land?
Tracts of land. She's got big assets. Intellectual assets. Anyway...
I don't know if she's a librarian, but Rachel Weisz in The Mummy is probably a good example.
A sexy librarian.
Yeah. Like, not only sexy, but, like, adventurous. Which I think is another subset of, like, stereotypical librarians in that, like, if you're doing some kind of adventure, if you're going on some kind of adventure, you need a librarian or someone who can navigate libraries so that you can find out all the answers to your quest. You've got Indiana Jones... who talks about how 90% of all archaeology is in libraries or something like that. And
there's Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Right. Her keeper or her watcher, I can't remember what they're called, but...
He's a librarian.
Yeah, the guy who, like, protects her and helps her solve all the answers, he is a librarian. And then you've got that Noah Wiley movie on TNT or whatever called The Librarian... which I don't know what he does, but he's definitely in, like, a Indiana Jones-esque role.
Yeah.
And then you've got Nicolas Cage and National Treasure, they always go to libraries.
It's interesting how, like, all the different symbology there is connected to the library. Like, there's the nostalgia element, there's also, like, the key to knowledge and secrets and mysteries is all through the library.
Right.
Which definitely libraries take advantage of in their marketing campaigns, believe me.
I think, yeah, well, I mean, it's definitely a way to, like, make the library seem more interesting, but it's rooted in the fact that knowledge comes from books, and books are in libraries. Like, you get your knowledge from libraries. It's ridiculous to me to think that we don't need libraries. When everybody thinks of a library, the first thing that pops up is knowledge. Like,
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Yeah, intelligence, like, that's what everyone needs to succeed.
Let's talk about a movie where libraries are in contention with computers, which is really interesting to me because this movie takes place in the 1960s. You could probably, like, do a remake set in today's era. But this Desk Set is the name of the movie.
Desk Set?
Yes.
D-E-S-K-S-E-T?
Yes.
Okay.
Which I don't understand. It doesn't really have anything to do with the movie.
That's a weird title.
Yes. I think it's just a cutesy title that they were like, this is catchy.
It's kind of hard for me to say. Like, oh, really? It's kind of like Rural Juror.
But this movie stars Katherine Hepburn as a librarian in a company. Where she, basically the movie starts out, she's, like, indispensable. Like, she gets called every 5 minutes, and she's really, really good at her job. Like, she's very smart. A lot of times she doesn't even have to look up answers. She just knows them, or she has the book in front of her, and she, like, finds it right away. She's really good at her job. And then Spencer Tracy comes in. He's from a company. He's, like, a consultant or something that wants to put a computer into the business where Katherine Hepburn's department, library department, works. And basically, he's kind of studying her and her the other librarians and, like, trying to figure out, you know, how they do their job so that he can put the computer in there.
Have you seen this movie?
I have. I watched it with the Stoyas.
Is the computer, like, the size of a room?
Yes. And it spits out cards.
It spits out, like, card catalog?
Yeah, and it doesn't have a screen, I think. You just type in what you need to know, and then it'll spit out a card or print out a paper with the answer on it.
Really?
Yes. It's very cute.
And Katherine Hepburn thinks that that's going to take over her job?
Yeah, so the librarians find out that Spencer Tracy is there because he's from the computer company, and they're like, oh, okay, I see how this is. You're here to take our jobs away from us. You're going to replace us with a computer.
But that's what a lot of people think, is that libraries are kind of obsolete now because of the internet.
Not true. Not true.
I know. I mean, I know it's not true, but that's where the kernel for the story came from, was that because of computers, we don't need libraries.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that they had this idea back in the 1960s. I mean, and the movie ends up, you know, showing that the librarians are irreplaceable. Like, the computer, it turns out, is installed to help them do their job. It's not there to replace them. Which is nice that they're saying that librarians are irreplaceable. And I definitely think there's some truth to that because, there's definitely, I don't know why people think it's librarians versus the internet, because it's librarians harnessing the internet, like,
right, because it's a tool, like,
yeah,
it's not the end, it's just a means to the end.
And I think that librarians in the future are going to make their job to help people navigate the internet, navigate information on the web.
What was that funny bumper sticker that you saw?
Oh yeah, there's this bumper sticker. It's like, if television is a babysitter, then the internet is a drunk librarian that won't shut up.
Which is true, because you can just find anything there, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's good. Like, I always had to go to the library to get help on research in college.
Oh, now you're just sucking up.
No, I'm not. I am a little bit.
Before we start getting too preachy, let's,
You know, in Parks and Rec, they say that, Leslie Knope says that, that's librarians are obsolete.
That's another librarian in pop culture. There's Megan Mullally's character.
Which I love. I don't think that's a stereotype. Parks and Recreation. That's the first crazy librarian I've ever seen. I love that they hate the library. Like I love that the Parks and Rec department, like, is like, oh, librarians are the worst.
Libraries.
The library department.
Worst place ever.
Yeah.
I love that there's a rivalry between the Parks department and the library department in Parks and Recreation.
Punk-ass book jockeys.
Ugh, so good. Yeah, Megan Mullally plays a crazy library director who is basically the librarian who's in charge of the library.
In that show, they're always like, the librarians, or the library department always gets funding. They're the first ones to get funding and all that stuff, but really,
yeah,
libraries don't get funding.
I'm not sure about that. Like, maybe in the Midwest or in that town, whatever town the show is based on, but, like, I mean, compared to the Parks Department, maybe they get more funding.
Yeah, maybe that just shows how sad that Parks Department is.
Which is kind of the running joke of the show.
That's true.
Yeah, that's another great library appearance of librarians in pop culture. It's interesting because the librarians in that show are so petty and just combative.
But they're also superior too, because they say that the other people are idiots. Like,
yeah, that's interesting to me because I feel like some librarians kind of do think that way. They think they're intellectually superior, you know, because they work with knowledge in the books. They're always right about things, which I wonder if that's based on a real interaction with a librarian.
I think it goes back to the idea that libraries equal knowledge. So if you work there, you're obviously more knowledgeable than someone who doesn't.
Sometimes. I have met some idiot librarians.
Well. But yeah.
So let's see. Have we left any librarians out?
Well, there's that song of the librarian by My Morning Jacket, which I will probably...
That falls under the stereotype of
sexy librarian. Yes. The secret sexy librarian, though. Not the outright, but the one that, like, you have to kind of bring her out of her shell. That's probably the song that'll start and end this podcast. I'll put that on there.
Okay.
So that'll be fun to listen to. But I think we did a good job. I think we ran through all the librarians. And
well, yeah, I mean, I doubt that we've covered all of them, but if you guys want, you can email us or comment. Send us your pop culture, your librarian pop culture sightings.
Yeah.
Or if you want to email us about a special memory of a special librarian.
What's our email address?
It's oddcastpodcast@gmail.com.
So, once again, Mio, congratulations on both your degree and your promotion to librarian.
Yay!
Very proud of you.
Thank you, James.
And hopefully someday you can be the star of some kind of librarian movie.
So until next time.
I'm James.
And I'm Mio.
Thanks for listening. Simple little bookworm, buried underneath, is the sexiest librarian. Off those glasses and let down your hair for me. So I watch you through the bookcase, imagining a scene. You and I at dinner, spending time, then to sleep.